Hello, and welcome to Soothing Pod. I am Arif, and today I would like you to be my fellow traveler on our shared journey to faraway lands and times. Have you ever heard the story of Esther? It is an amazing account of a beautiful woman who risked her life to save her people. This story can be found in the Old Testament and the Bible, one of only two books in the Bible named after women. The story of Esther is so remarkable that it has been told over and over again for generations. Before I tell you the story, take a moment to find a calm position, whether sitting or lying down in your bed. Feel the warmth of your own breathing as you inhale and exhale. Let your body relax in time to the waves of air. Breathe in, breathe out, and settle down into a comfortable state of mind. Once upon a time, there was a little girl named Hadassah. She lived in ancient Persia and was born into a Jewish family. The story does not tell us how Hadassah lost her parents. We only know that she was orphaned at a young age and adopted by her cousin, a man named Mordecai. He took Hadassah into his own home and raised her as his daughter. At this time, the ruler of the land was King Ahasuerus, also called Xerxes. He reigned a portion of the world so large that he was deemed one of the most powerful rulers on the planet. His realm stretched from Asia to the Middle East and parts of Northern Africa. One day, the king decided to hold a great feast in the palace for the princes and noblemen of Persia. He planned to flaunt his riches and treasures during the feast. To prepare for the great party, he ordered that the palace be decorated with white, green, and blue hangings, that purple cords with silver rings be fastened on marble pillars. The guests would lie on beds as they feasted, beds inlaid with gold and silver. There would be abundant wine served in golden glasses. Dishes with food would be flowing, and all would see and experience the greatness of the king. The king commanded all who were invited to the party to do as they pleased. He also allowed his queen, whose name was Vashti, to hold a feast for the women and wives of his guests in her part of the royal palace. After 7 days of feasting and drinking, the king summoned the queen to come to him and show off her legendary beauty. However, the queen Vashti refused to come as the king commanded. She assumed he was quite drunk with wine, and so were his officers. Hadn't he had enough entertainment already? The queen replied that she would not come and show herself before the king and his guests. Well, you can imagine just how upset this made the king. According to the original story, his anger burned in him. Because of her refusal to obey, the king removed Vashti from her royal duties as queen and stripped her of her titles, took the crown from her, and commanded that another woman take her place on the throne. To find who would be the next queen, the king did as his counselors suggested. Appoint officers in all the provinces of his kingdom, and gather together all the fair young virgins unto Shushan, the palace, to the house of the women, unto the custody of Haggai, the king's chamberlain, keeper of the women. Whichever of these women pleased the king would become the queen and sit on Vashti's throne. Now, it so happened that Mordecai, whom I told you about at the beginning of this story, worked in the king's palace. And when he got wind of the new decree, he immediately thought of Hadassah. She was now a grown young woman, fair and beautiful. She had a kind heart and unique beauty. Mordecai decided that he would bring Hadassah to the palace, to Haggai, the keeper of women. Perhaps she would be chosen as the new queen of Persia. Was it too much to dream of? The problem was that Mordecai was a Jew, and Hadassah's identity might be discovered. To hide this fact, they decided to call her Esther, and not to tell anyone about her foreign origins. Haggai was immediately pleased when he saw Esther. He appointed 7 maidens to serve her, gave her all the garments and accessories she needed, and proceeded to train her with all the skills and knowledge a future queen would need to possess. Mordecai walked every day in the palace, passing by the court of the women's house, and kept his ears open for any news of Esther. He could not wait to know what would become of her. After 12 months of purification, 6 months with oils, and 6 months with perfumes, the fateful day finally arrived. Esther was summoned before the king, and of all the women who were brought before the king, he loved Esther the most. As soon as he laid eyes upon her, the king knew. Esther was the most beautiful woman he had ever seen, and you can be sure that the king had seen plenty of beautiful young women from every state of his lands. He decided, then and there, that his new queen was found. Esther would wear the royal crown. And so it was that a little orphaned girl grew up to be the queen of Persia, for she was fairer than all the rest, indeed. But our story does not end there. Oh no, it is just beginning. All this time that she was preparing to meet the king, Esther had not yet revealed her identity. Doing so could jeopardize her chances of becoming a queen. One day, while Mordecai was sitting at the king's gate, 2 of the king's chamberlains, Bigthan and Teresh, planned to harm the king Ahasuerus. Mordecai overheard them scheming at the gate and immediately told this to Esther, who passed on the facts to the king. An inquisition was conducted of the matter, and the 2 men were both hanged from a tree. The chronicles of this were recorded in the king's book. Soon afterwards, a certain man named Haman was appointed to an important position in the palace over all the other princes. Most of the king's servants, as the law commanded, bowed down every time Haman passed by. Only Mordecai did not. He did not think Haman deserved this kind of reverence. When Haman discovered that this man, who did not bow, was a Jew, he became filled with wrath and began to plan a way to destroy all the Jews in the kingdom. His first idea was to bring the problem before the king. "Oh, mighty King Ahasuerus," said Haman, "there is a certain people scattered in all the provinces of your kingdom, and their laws are different from ours. They do not keep to your commandments. If it please the king, let it be written that they may be destroyed. I will pay 10,000 talents of silver to accomplish this and rid the kingdom of these disobedient folk." When the king heard what Haman said, he gave him full permission to do so. Haman ensured that the message was heard. He sent letters in the name of King Ahasuerus, sealed with the king's ring. The letters were sent by posts into all the king's provinces, with a commandment to destroy all the Jews on the 13th day of the 12th month. When Mordecai heard of the new law, he was overcome with sorrow, and all Jews in every province heard the decree and wept. When Queen Esther saw that her cousin Mordecai was grieving, she sent her servants to know what was wrong. Mordecai told Esther's servants why he was heartbroken. He gave them a copy of the king's new decree to show it to the queen. He told the servants to ask the queen to speak to the king on behalf of her people. When Esther heard everything, she was of course worried, but she also knew the law. No one, not even the queen herself, was allowed to go to the king without being summoned first. To do so could mean death. "Even I have not been called to the king these 30 days," answered Esther to her servants, who in turn relayed her words to Mordecai. His reply came immediately. "Don't think that you will escape in the king's house any more than all the Jews. Who knows? Perhaps you have been chosen to come to the kingdom for such a time as this." Esther knew in her heart what she must do. She sent a message to her cousin. "Go, gather together all the Jews that are present in the city, and fast for me. Neither eat nor drink for 3 days, night or day. I also and my maidens will do the same. After these 3 days, I will go to the king, even though it is against the law. And if I perish, I perish." On the third day, just as she had promised to her people, Esther put on her royal apparel. She walked calmly and gracefully into the king's throne room. And when the king saw Esther the queen standing in the court, he remembered how much he loved her. He held out the royal scepter to her. This meant that her actions were pardoned and that she was allowed to be in his presence. "What do you wish, Queen Esther?" he asked. "And what is your request? Tell me, and I shall grant it to you, even if you ask for half of my kingdom." Esther answered cautiously, yet boldly, "If it seems good to the king, come with your right-hand man, Haman, to a banquet that I have planned for you." The king must have been surprised and delighted at her request, and so was Haman. What an honor to be asked to a feast with the king and queen in private. When the two men arrived on the night of the queen's banquet, the king pressed Esther to tell him what she really wanted to ask of him. He knew there must be something else. "What do you wish for? What is your petition? Tell me, and I shall grant it, even if you ask me for half of my kingdom. So be it." "What do you think?" the queen replied. She simply said, "If I have found favor in the sight of the king, and if it please the king to grant my petition and to perform my request, let the king and Haman come to the banquet that I shall prepare for them tomorrow." Haman was never happier in his life. A second invitation for a private banquet with the king and the queen. He only found himself seething again as he passed Mordecai that night at the gate. Mordecai, who did not regard him, nor respect him, nor bow down to him. He was very upset, but tried to restrain himself He called up his friends and his wife to tell them the exciting news. The king had promoted him, and the queen had invited him to not just one, but two banquets. What an honor! He could not imagine his good fortune. "The only thing that bothers me is seeing Mordecai sitting at the king's gate," he grumbled. Zeresh, his wife, had a suggestion. "Why not build a gallows? Make it 50 cubits high, and tomorrow, when you go to the king, ask him to give you permission to hang Mordecai there." It was exactly the encouragement Haman needed. He decided to have the gallows constructed at once. That night, the king could not sleep. He commanded a servant to read to him from the book of his own chronicles and records. The passage that was found and read was the Chronicles of Mordecai. The king listened as his servant read to him all that he had, until now, forgotten how Bigthan and Teresh had plotted to kill him and how Mordecai had intercepted their evil plan. The king asked the servant, "What honor and dignity did we give to Mordecai for this good deed?" "Nothing, your majesty," answered the servant. "Nothing has been done for him." At this precise moment, who do you suppose would enter the king's court? Haman was at the gate, preparing to speak to the king about this idea for hanging Mordecai on the gallows. "Who is in the court?" asked the king. Upon hearing that it was his right-hand man, the king was happy. Perhaps Haman could help him solve a problem. When Haman was summoned, the king said, "Haman, perfect. You are just the man I needed to see at this moment." Haman was full of glee. The king continued, "Haman, if I were to honor a man, what should I do for him?" Now Haman thought to himself, "To whom would the king give honor more than to myself?" Haman was quick to reply, "For the man whom the king would like to honor, I suggest let the royal apparel be brought, robes that the king wears himself, and bring the horse which the king rides on, and, one more thing, the royal crown. Set the crown upon this man's head, and bring the man on horseback through the street of the city. Let there be an official running before the horse, and proclaiming out loud, 'This is what the good king does to those whom he wishes to honor.'" "I love it," said the king. "What fantastic ideas you have, Haman. No wonder I chose you to serve me." Haman grinned smugly, imagining the crown on his own head. "Now," said the king, "hurry and take the apparel and the horse, and do exactly as you have suggested to Mordecai the Jew. You know, that man who sits every day at the gate? Do exactly as you have said for him." Imagine the look on poor Haman's face. Imagine the fury. Haman could do nothing but obey. He took the royal apparel and the horse, and dressed Mordecai, and brought him on horseback through the street of the city. He ran before the horse as the king commanded, and shouted out loud, "This is what the good king does to those whom he wishes to honor." It must have been quite an embarrassment. As soon as he got back home, Haman sulked, whined all night, and felt quite sorry for himself. "I'm sick of your whining, Haman," said his wife finally. "Just go through with your original plans and get rid of this Jew once and for all." The next night at the queen's banquet, Haman found himself feeling slightly better. At least he got some royal treatment, he thought to himself. This time, the king was more insistent on finding out what it really was that the queen wanted to ask him. He knew that the wisest women did not always speak their mind immediately. He knew his queen must have a plan in mind. And so, the king asked her, "What is your petition, Queen Esther? Ask, and it shall be granted thee. And what is your request? Ask, and it shall be performed, even to the half of the kingdom." Finally, Esther the queen answered, "If I have found favor in your sight, O king, and if it please you, spare my life." The king was baffled. "What are you talking about, dear queen?" he asked. "We are sold, I and my people." She was on the verge of tears. "To be destroyed, to be slain, and to perish." The king Ahasuerus was seething. Who would dare to hurt his beautiful queen? "Tell me who this criminal is," he said. "Where is he who plots this against you?" And Esther said, "The adversary and enemy is the man, this wicked Haman." She pointed a finger at the man who now quivered in fear at their feet. The king could not believe his ears. He stormed out of the room, upset. Upon his return, he found Haman clinging to the queen's feet, begging for mercy. The sight of this pitiful, scheming man angered the king even more. "What is he doing to my queen?" he wondered. "Does he disrespect me in my own palace?" The king ordered his bodyguards to seize Haman at once. "O king, look at the gallows," said one of his servants. "They are 50 cubits high. Haman had them made for Mordecai, the man who saved you." "Hang Haman there," ordered the king. And that, as you can imagine, was the end of Haman. To fill Haman's position as counselor to the king, Mordecai was summoned, and the king put his own ring on Mordecai's finger, reassuring the old man that he would never again have to fear for his life or for the life of his people. In the end, the little orphan girl who became queen found a way to save her family and her people. The king gave the minorities permission to defend themselves from their enemies in any way possible. They were welcomed to live in the land, and it was made known that the king approved of their presence. After the queen's true identity was made known, the king realized that it did not matter what her country of origin was, or her race, or her family tree. He loved her for the wise and strong and beautiful woman that she was. Queen Esther had proved her loyalty, and finally, she was able to live in peace and be honest about her origins. The king allowed her and her people to seek refuge in Persia, where they and their descendants lived peacefully for many, many years. As you fall asleep tonight, I wish you peace and security as well. May you rest in the knowledge that everything has its place and time. I hope you enjoyed this legendary story, and that you'll join me next time for another bedtime tale on Soothing Pod.